Glad that you're here. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. And if you're a guest, thank you for being here. I'll be at this door at the back. You're right. If I haven't had an opportunity to meet you, I'd love the opportunity to meet you today before you leave. And thank you personally for worshiping with us here at Grace Point Church. Okay, here's what I want to do. We've been going verse by verse through James, through the book of James. And we're at James chapter 2, verse 1. However, I want to start on that next Sunday. I have a different message I want to share with you today that's not from the book of James. Now, before I get to that, though, I want to encourage you, ask you to be praying towards our September series. Last year in September, you remember, I did this series, The Struggle is Real. We're going to Struggle is Real 2019 now. And if you were here, you remember. If not, it's new to you, but I really wanted to do a series that gave a biblical perspective on mental illness and to be able to come alongside people that are struggling with depression, with anxiety, and other things. And so the Lord really just blessed that series, and we had over 1,400 people that were coming, and we usually have about 700 or 800 on weekend. And so he sent a lot of people that, you know, we learned quickly that are struggling with this, and we're looking for hope and for looking for healing, and that is my heart, regardless of where you're at or what you're doing with this, is to come alongside, encourage you, to let you know that there is hope. Amen? Amen. Regardless of what we're struggling with or we're facing, as children of God, there is hope. We're going to see that today. The provision of God and restores our hope in all situations. And so the Lord just blessed that. We started a support group from that. I anticipate starting another one after this series. And so we're swinging back around. I really want to share again in September. And so this is the direction we're going. Begin September the 8th. The Struggle is Real 2019, An Overwhelmed World. So I'll be talking about how an overwhelmed world kind of leads us to places that, unfortunately, that are unhealthy and dark and difficult. The first week, September 8th, I'll be preaching the truth about mental illness. And then the next week, the truth about anxiety. And then third week, the truth about depression. And then the fourth week, the truth about you, how God sees you. Now, there's a lot wrapped in that. I'll come with a lot of different angles with that. But wanting to give, you know, hope and encouragement, biblical truth to people walking through that. And here's what we learn, and we know statistically, but we learn, is that people, you know, people in the church struggle with these things. And so I really wanted, last year, I really wanted to kind of push the envelope and get that out in the open so people can come to church and talk about it. I'm struggling with depression. I'm struggling with anxiety. I have this mental illness, whatever it may be, that you come here because, hey, if we can't come here, where else for help? Right? We need to be that refuge, that place where people can come and they can hear gospel truth and they can connect if they don't know the Lord with the Lord, and then be able to find encouragement from His Word, from His presence, and from you as a church family. And then some of us who struggle with it are able to find that hope and that healing, that encouragement. So that's coming. I give it to you now because I really want you to be praying towards it. September, you know how it happens. I mean, it seems, it's a little ways away, but you know as well as I do, it's coming fast. And so I want to encourage you to pray. If you have a prayer journal, maybe you would write that down for me and just be praying towards that month, towards that series, that people here at Grace Point would find hope and healing, and then people in the city. We're really going to push this hard through the city again. We'll do 30,000 piece mail out. We'll go to the city, and we're going to some specific places this year to make sure the word gets there and to get as many people here so they can hear the gospel truth and know that there's hope. If they're going through depression, come to Grace. We want to connect you. We want to give you encouragement. We want to give you biblical truth. We want to give you resources, counselors, all kinds of things to help people work through that. All right? So please be praying towards that. It'll come quickly. So today, what I want to talk to you about, I want to talk to you about the provision of God today. Here's kind of how I got there. I was thinking about August and transition in August and how much transition happens. And I don't want to run ahead, but just I want to preach it today. And then certainly when we get to August, we like to have a special prayer time on that Sunday before school starts for teachers and kids and parents. But when you think about this time of year, there's a lot of transition. Some people are putting their kids in kindergarten, and that's can be a stressful time. Others are, yay, praise God. But it just depends on where you're at. So it's a happy transition for some. And some are, their kids are going from elementary to middle school. That can be a stressor. From middle school to high school, that can be a stressor. From high school, some are graduating, and they're going off to college, and that can be a whole other world. There's a lot, teachers and administrators, there's a lot of that going on in August. So I want to kind of get ahead of it and talk about the provision of God today to encourage you as you go into it. But also, it may be completely something unrelated to that, just where you're at. I also know a lot of people walking through a lot of things right now. You know, maybe it's the loss of a job, or maybe it's relationship issues, or maybe it's financial issues or health issues. There's just a lot on us right now. And so as your pastor, as I thought about that, in the midst of that, what is God's word to us when we're in those places and we're in those seasons? And that's where I kind of landed here. I'm going to go Genesis 22 in just a minute. But I want to encourage you today with the biblical truth that when fear overwhelms you, when uncertainty unsettles you, or when anxiety controls you, or when the future scares you, you can rest assured based on the Word of God that no matter what you face, the Lord will provide. Amen? That is the truth I want to share with you today. That truth, no matter what you face, whatever is before you, right, that the Lord, from the smallest things to the biggest issues, God wants to know it all. And He says, I will provide for you. You are my children. I am your father. My provision is good. And so that's what I want to share with you today. Now, typically, if I'm in James, I'll kind of camp out on a few verses there. But this one is more fluid, so I'm going to go through a lot of different scripture passages to kind of build this thing up and give you these takeaways. Old Testament, and I'll go New Testament, so you're welcome to follow along. But I do go fairly quickly, so they're all on the screen up here. If you want to follow along on the screen instead of turning, that's fine also. But I'm going to start, familiar for some of you, Genesis 22, Abraham and Isaac. Genesis 22, Abraham and Isaac. Let me just summarize. And this is, I almost hate to summarize that story because there's so much there, but that's a whole nother sermon. But Abraham and Isaac, God calls Abraham to offer his son Isaac on the altar. Genesis 22. And the story is, he marches up to the mountain to where they're to go. He puts his son on the altar, binds him up, puts him on the altar. And right, we'll see in just a minute, Genesis 22, right at the last minute, he tells him to stop. And then the Lord provides a ram for the sacrifice. Now, after that happens, in verse 14, it says this. So this is after the Lord provided. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. So the provision of God, that's what I want to talk to you about today. That the Lord will provide. So if you're taking notes, takeaway number one is this. That's what I just said, actually, is the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, J-I-R-E-H. That means, from Genesis 22, the name of God, that the Lord will provide. That's what Jehovah Jireh means. The Lord will provide the provision of God. So Genesis 22, all throughout the Bible, we see the provision of God in a number of different stories. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 19, listen to this. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. A promise, right? A promise from God that he will supply every need. Now, we need to check that, all right? I circle that one in my Bible. Every need, not every want, not every desire, not everything, but every need that I have. He's well aware of them. God will provide every need that you have. Matthew 7, verse 11, Jesus says this, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So the provision of God. So when you surrender your life to Christ, when you put your faith in Christ, God commissions himself to protect you, to provide for you, and to care for you. Now, here's where kind of the wheels come off, I think, and we struggle, is many times, which leads me to takeaway number two, his way and his timing may be different from ours. When I struggled when I was writing that takeaway to not say, his way and his timing is always different from mine. Because that's what I've seemed to find out. Certainly his timing is. His ways are different. Speaking of provision, man, let me read this to you. Burger King. I'm going to work Burger King into my sermon. I don't love Burger King. It's okay. I'm more of a, I'm more of the five-star McDonald's if I have a chance. So listen to this article. Burger King's latest plan to reach customers, Whoppers delivered right to your car. All right, starting in Mexico City, the fast food chain says it's targeting hungry drivers stuck in traffic. I love this entrepreneur, dude. So listen to this. First of all, Mexico City, it says in this article, has the worst traffic in the world. According to the latest global traffic index, people spend up to 5 hours in their daily commute. It says only second to Denton, Texas, 4.5. It says right there. Right there. So they say this was an opportunity. Let me back up. So it says you're stuck in a sea of standstill traffic. Nobody's moving. When they begin, the hunger pains, the kind that unleash a steady stream of fast food fantasizing. It sounds weird, but now Burger King, the global hamburger giant, is betting that hungry drivers will welcome a third option, a direct-to-driver delivery concept the company has labeled the Traffic Jam Whopper. Using an app developed by the burger chain, the initiative, which is being rolled out in Mexico City, allows drivers to order food delivered directly to their car via motorcycle. A video released by the company shows a motorcycle delivery driver weaving through stopped traffic before knocking on a customer's window and handing over a bag of food. He says this was an opportunity for Burger King to generate new revenue out of those hungry drivers. A spokesperson said, in fact, the Traffic Jam Whopper increased deliveries by 63% during the month of April in participating restaurants. Food delivery apps have exploded in popularity in recent years, with companies like DoorDash, Grubhub, and Uber Eats seizing on customers' desire for customized meals and convenience. In a recent report, the research firm Cowan & Company forecasts that U.S. restaurant delivery sales will continue to skyrocket, reaching $76 billion by 2022. $1 billion. When we think about provision, God provides in much greater ways than that. But sometimes the ways he provides is different than what we would think. Takeaway number two, his way and his timing may be different. So here's the deal. God always provides for his children, though it may not be the way we expected or even the way we'd hoped. So the challenge is for us to see God's provision and God's care, even when it's distant, different than what we expect. And we have to remember what the Bible teaches us, that God's ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah 55:9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay, so we want to recognize, and that doesn't mean we don't pray for a specific thing, but don't get so boxed in, right, that if God provides, we don't want to miss that provision from God. It may very well be different, and it may be in a different way than what you had hoped for, expected, or even prayed for. The second thing is the timing. You know, most of the times that timing is different. And takeaway number three, kind of, God is working even when we don't see it. So I think we get hung up on, we don't see anything happening, and then we're praying, but this is what we get. It's like, I'm praying, but God's not, I mean, does God know? Does he think, why isn't he doing something? John Stott, who's a writer and theologian, said, God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, but you may be aware of three of them. That we don't see it. God is working even when we don't see it, because he's promised his provision. Over and over again, the disciples, when you look at the Gospels, the disciples, those closest to Jesus, there were many times they missed the point. They missed the point of the miracles. They would miss the point of lessons. So sometimes if we don't have clarity, we're in good company. We may not be seeing what's happening, but God is still working. The Israelites, which we'll talk about in just a minute, escaped captivity in Egypt, only faced the challenges of the desert. One of the biggest challenges, as we'll see in a minute, was the provision of food. Yet over and over and over and over again, God supernaturally provided for the Israelites as they wandered through the wilderness. Parting the Red Sea. We have that story of where he parted the Red Sea and they walked across safely. Over and over again, he faithfully provided for them. And if he did that, which we know he did, then we know based on the authority of his word, he will surely provide for you and me and our families and the needs that we have in our life. Be patient, be careful. Just because you don't see it going down right now doesn't mean that God is not working or God doesn't care. Make sure you're looking also, because the way he worked might be something you never even imagined. And God chooses to work this way. And the timing thing is where I sometimes get hung up, right? And part of that has to do with my impatience, but it seems like he does wait till the last minute at times. Let me show you Genesis 20. Let me go back to Genesis chapter 22, and I want to read verse 9, okay? So the timing of God's provision. We have to trust his timing. He's working in even when we don't see it. So Abraham and Isaac, verse 9, when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do nothing. Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So here's the timing thing. I read that story, and this is my personal take on it. I look at that story, and so let's say here's where we have God speaking to Abraham about take your son, okay? And he takes him and he starts walking, and he gets to the place where he builds the altar. He builds the altar, he binds up his son, and he puts him on there, and he lifts up the knife, and it's then when he goes, stop. And my question is, how about let me in on it back here? You know what I mean? How about here? When you gave me the plan. Hey, look, there, look. Abraham, here's how it's going to go down. And right when you get up here, angel's going to call out. All right? What? Or even not here. How about when I get like here? I'll take it here. Maybe here when I'm building the altar. Hey, by the way, this is how it's going to go down, Abraham. But God waits to hear. Because if he tells me here, before I get to here, he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I mean, if he tells me the whole plan, and I've argued with him for years about this, and I still do, you'd think I'd learn my lesson. But just give me a little insight here. And over again, I think through the scriptures, it's clear God says, well, you need to trust me. And as you step out in faith, my provision will be there. He didn't say to Peter, hey, Peter, I tell you what, get out of the boat. Once you're out of the boat, I'll make sure you walk on water. Oh, okay. He just said, come to me. And the provision came as he stepped, moved in faith. Then the provision came. It's the timing thing. It's like I think I've said before, God is seldom early, but never late. He's always right on time. It's the provision of God. It may come in a different way, and it may certainly for me, sometimes it comes at a different timing. But God is faithful to provide. This is foundational to our faith. Now, we're going to come to the table in just a few minutes with the Lord's Supper. But there is the ultimate provision, right? That God, because our Bible says our sin, Romans 3, separated us from God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So heaven, that's the gift of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So our sins, the Bible says, separated us from God. God sent Jesus, the ultimate provision on the cross, right, to forgive us of our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins so that we might have eternal life in heaven with him. So that is the ultimate provision. The Lord will, and I think Genesis 22 is foreshadowing that. It's the gospel, the good news. It's good news. The good news is that God made a way when we couldn't make a way ourselves. And he did that in Jesus. And he continues to do that every day for us as we live in this life and in this world. But it all points back to Jesus being the hero. It all points back to him. These situations that we struggle with, where we need the provision of God, what is it? It points us back to our need for him. For our need for him. God is working even when we don't see it. So here's a question then. So then what do we do while we're waiting on God to provide? What should we do? I've prayed and prayed and prayed. Timing, my time, you know, it's way past my time. It should have happened by now. And I'm waiting and I'm waiting. What should we do? And the answer is we should do Genesis 22, exactly what Abraham did. What did Abraham do? While he waited on God to provide, he walked in obedience to the word of God. That's what you do. While we wait on God to provide, we walk in obedience to the word of God. So we walk in obedience till we know what God wants us, what the Bible tells us. So what that means is, that means while we're waiting on God, we continue praying. We continue singing. We continue going to church. We continue serving. We continue praising God. We continue to do these things while we're waiting on God to provide in faith. We're trusting God, as one writer said, until God opens the next door, praise him in the hallway. Amen? And wait faithfully, but you continue to obey, just like Abraham. You continue to walk in obedience, in faith, trusting and believing that it may not be your way and it may not be your timing, but you truly believe that the Lord will provide. Takeaway number four, be grateful. While you are waiting on that provision to happen, be grateful for his present provision. So don't grumble. Be present, be grateful for his present provision. Let me show you Exodus 16. So the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, right? Being led by Moses and Aaron, as I pick it up in Exodus chapter 16. Now, the Lord's already parted the Red Sea, man. He's already demonstrated just powerful miracles before these brothers and sisters. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and bread and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. So they were grumbling because they were hungry. And what they're saying in the midst of that setting is, it would have been better if we'd have just stayed back in Egypt, where we're being mistreated and abused and controlled, all those things back there. Man, they wanted to go back there. They lost perspective. They said it would have been better back there. At least our stomachs were full. Although God had just provided miraculously and he's getting ready to again. But they were not grateful for his present provision. Even though God provided, the Israelites still complained and they grumbled in the desert. They were awaiting more provision. And so therefore they took for granted the present provision that God had given them. Our four kids are older and gone. I've told you that. When they were small, younger, there was one time I did this. I asked them, we were in the car, hey, where do you guys want to go eat? Did it one time. You know why I do it one time? Because you get four different answers. Four different answers, and then we wind up at a particular place. I have to choose, right? And then inevitably, I won't name names, but at least two of the four were unhappy about where we were at. And then what happens then is I get into my, I'm going to use my pastor voice, don't make me use my pastor voice mode, and dad and preacher, and I start lecturing and preaching to those that are unhappy that they should be thankful for what they have in front of them, because kids in the other part of the world can't go to Chick-fil-A and have nuggets, so eat them and be happy. And it makes for a great time of fellowship, I'm telling you, man, it was awesome. Really bonding time. They love me more after that. I'm like, quit griping, man. Well, we'll eat it, but next time we get to go to our place. The next provision. I'll be happy for that one. But I'm not happy for what you've provided today. So be careful. Be careful that we don't get like the Israelites. I think we could. I could. I know. Can. And be ungrateful for the provision God has already given us while we wait on Him to provide what's next. Because truth be known, I think we would all agree. I think we would, really. When we look around, I think we can all agree and say, we look at where we're at and how God's, we can all faithfully say, God has been faithful to provide for us. He is good. He is good. Be grateful for the present provision that is right in front of you. Now, maybe you're at a job and you're doing work different than what you expected or hoped for. And let me just encourage you where you are right now. And look, I'm not saying this is easy. Again, this shows us our need for Jesus, the hero, to empower us, to strengthen us, to do in us, to provide. Some of you, it might be, I need God to provide me patience. I need God to provide me wisdom. I need God to provide me healing. I need God to provide me whatever it may be, right? Where we're going to land here in just a minute is what these situations do. One of the main reasons, not the only, is it points us to our need for a Savior. Not just to save us eternal life, but to live this life, this side of heaven. So that's what these situations are. It shows us that I need the provision of God to endure this life and to live well and to live right. I can't do it on my own. And so as we're walking through it, maybe, you know, the illustration was maybe you're at a job that you don't love. And like I said, I know it's not easy, but let me just encourage you, wherever you're at, be fully present where you are. And I know that's easier said than done, but it's relying on the... Now, wherever God has you, be fully present there. Let's say a job situation, all right? Now, it doesn't mean that He may not move you at some point. And when God says it's time to go, you go. But if He's saying, my timing is that you're there at that job now, and then you be fully there. But when He says it's time to go, you go. So you be grateful for the provision God has given you at the present time. 1 Thessalonians 5:7, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, if you go down to Exodus chapter 16, and I'm going to jump over to verse 4. This is the one day at a time verse, taking one day at a time. Exodus 16:4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather, now watch this, a day's portion every day. A day's portion every day, that I may test them. And here's what I think He's testing them, whether they will walk in my law or not. So here's what He said. I'm going to rain down bread. You tell them to get enough bread for the day. I'm going to test them to see if they're going to do it and walk in my law. Trust me that I'll give it more the next day. So here's the deal. Okay, total confession. I think if I'm back there with the Israelites, I'm probably the dude, even though I believe in God and I'm trusting His promise, I'm still probably the dude who goes, man, look at all this bread. Hey, let's just get like, I know He said just today, but He probably won't care. Let's just get enough for a week. And I'll feel a lot better. Won't you feel a lot better? I'll feel a lot better, man. If we can store this up. well, they did that, you know, and what happens is the bread goes bad, there's maggots and all that gross stuff in there. To get to the point of testing us, to see, am I going to trust God and His provision every single day? Because if I scoop up enough bread for a week and it's still good, I'm not praying about food. I got it, man. Right? But every single day. So what's the big picture of this is dependence on God, need for God. That's the message, the need for God. It all points back to the cross, the need for our Savior. A Savior, and these things show our continued dependence upon God. And so he's saying one day, so this is the one day at a time thing, okay? So this is God saying, look, I'll provide for you today. Just focus on today. I will provide for you tomorrow too, but we aren't there yet. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but I talked about this last year. I can play the what if game probably better than anybody in here. And the, well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And I can worry myself. Now, I'm thankful for the truth of God's word and the Spirit of God in me that has empowered me to find victory. I still fall at times, but with the anxiety, and that was the other reason I wanted to do the mental illness thing, is because I dealt with anxiety and especially years ago, and the Lord really has really just given me victory over that. And I'm saying I don't have my times, but when it comes to that, I can really worry it out if I'm not careful about worry about this and this and this and this and this, so much so that, man, my mind is like, I don't have perspective and my stomach hurts and I can't sleep and all these physical manifestations from worrying and anxiety. And when it comes back to, you know what it comes back to? It comes back, I have to pull myself back through a message like this to say, hey, the Lord will provide. Settle your spirit, my friend. Settle your heart. The Lord will provide. He is faithful to provide. And to be grateful for that provision. One day at a time, the Lord will provide today. Then the last one, take one number five, and then we're going to walk into the Lord's Supper, is our greatest need is for more of God. That is our greatest need. More of God. And the scripture tells us to make the pursuit of God the primary function of our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now look, if we would just dwell there and spend more time there, it's going to lead us to a much healthier place. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So as I said, these situations help us recognize our need for God. And let God use those situations to press you more towards him. So let me finish by asking you this question, a couple questions, just rhetorical. What is your greatest fear right now? Matter of fact, let's just bow our heads. Will you bow your heads with me? Bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment as we kind of draw things to a close, and we're going to walk into the Lord's Supper and time in just a minute. So let me just ask you this, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, just this, what is your greatest fear right now? You just say that silently to God. This is it, God. What's your greatest anxiety right now? What are you most anxious about? What's your greatest worry or concern right now? So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want you to know that whatever that is, God will provide. God has already made provision. He knows exactly what he's going to do to provide and meet you at that place. And I want to encourage you to let those things be the things that turn you to a greater dependence upon God and a greater need for him in your life. That fear causes you to turn to God so he'll calm your fears. Those things that bring anxiety cause you to turn to God. I need you, God, to give me victory over this anxiety. And his provision, then he provides that. But we must be looking for that. We haven't been looking many times. We're self-sufficient. We tough it out. I can do it. But we're pausing today to recognize, as we come to the table here in just a moment, our greatest need was met by God in Jesus. And as we continue, we need Jesus to empower us, to strengthen us, to get us through these things. And the beautiful thing about it is when he does it, he grows you. You're stronger and he's glorified because we say, man, look what God did. This is what God did in my life. This is what God did. He's a hero. It all points to him, ultimately, for the glory of God. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for provision in Jesus, which we remember right now at the cross. I pray for every person in this room, the sound of my voice, those who may be walking through some deep valleys. I pray that the truth of your word settles into their heart, that your provision is good, that you will make a way when there seems to be no way. But I pray, God, you give us wisdom to hear you speak, wisdom to know your way, wisdom to know your word, your will in every situation. May we walk in obedience as we wait on you to provide. We pray these things in Jesus' name.